This morning I want to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. And I want to talk about blessing. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. May God bless the reading of his word. Loved one, we're standing on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history, and we need to enlarge our hearts accordingly, and we need to begin to ask God for increase. 2,500 years ago, there was a little guy named Jabez, and if you go to 1 Chronicles, there are 9 chapters of genealogies. That's where names are just linked together like links in a chain, brim, tham, begat, rap, that, and all in the middle of a genealogy, the scribe pauses and highlights in 2 verses a man named Jabez. You know, we have a genealogy in our personal life, and would to God someday when they're reading our name in the genealogy, the scribe will pause and mention us. It's a little tiny biography that tells a big story of a man who sought increase. I believe as a church, we need to be able to posture ourselves for increase and for blessing. Jabez, his name meant pain. His mother actually misnamed him. Jabez meant misery and pain. Can you imagine people coming to your house saying, "Can misery come out and play?" How about your daughter saying, "You know, I'm dating he who causes pain, mother. We're meeting Friday at the burger joint." Jabez, his name, he was given a false name by his mother. Did you know sometimes you can put the wrong name on your best child? The scripture says Jabez was more honorable than anyone else in his family, but mama, through her grief and mama and her trauma, caused her to transfer and project onto Jabez a label that was not a label from God. Far from being the one who would cause pain, he became one of the greatest examples of blessing in the Bible. Just 2 verses, but there are 4 things Jabez prayed, and I want that prayer to become our prayer this morning. He prayed first, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." Secondly, "that thou wouldst enlarge my territory." Third, "that your hand would be upon me." And fourth, "that you would protect me from evil, that I would not see its pain or be painful, be a pain to others." Jabez in his prayer quantifies for us the heart we should have in this last outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because, loved one, it's time to ask for blessing. Look at the first thing he asked for. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." He lived in the time after Joshua, when the children of Israel had gone into the promised land, when the Canaanites were all over the place. It was called the time of the judges. And they were literally forcing the enemy out of the land. And they were possessing the land as God had commanded them. And Jabez, far from being crippled by his name, rose above his name. Many of you have had an opportunity to be paralyzed in your past and crippled because you were misnamed by somebody in authority in your life. Someone called you a pain. Someone spoke a curse over you. But Jabez is an example of a man who rose above being misnamed and became a man who left a legacy of blessing behind him. I don't care what mama's grief was. You imagine this little boy, he was greeted into the world with the tears of his mother, and all of her frustrated expectations were transferred onto that child. Loved one, it's possible to misname the right child. Did you know we can call many things a Jabez that are really a blessing? Sometimes you face bereavement in your life and you call it Jabez, you call it pain, and God says, "Oh no, it's the avenue to the greatest blessing of your life." Sometimes you can call a loss in your life Jabez, and God goes, "Oh, no, 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 no. Those tears are going to become a smile in your life." And conversely, we can sometimes look at something in the external appearance, and we can say, "Oh, surely this is a blessing," and it winds up being the greatest curse in the history of your life. See, in Jabez's story, we're learning, don't Jabez things. Don't mislabel things, especially in this time in your life. Sometimes you meet someone and you initially Jabez them. You go, "Who does she think she is? I don't know." And that becomes your best friend. That ever happened to you? Somebody came, "Who does she think she is? What's her trip? I don't understand." And you Jabez it. And then you find out later, that's your best friend in this whole world. Conversely, you can think something's really a great blessing. It winds up being the greatest curse in your life. You see, Jabez's mother misnamed her best son. And it says that he was more honorable than all of his family. That's an interesting word, honorable. What does it mean? Well, if you ask the world honors certain things heaven hates. And the things heaven honors and angels dance about, this world could care less about. There's a genealogy, all these names being listed, all these names, and all of a sudden, Jabez pops up. Not because he built a pyramid, not because he's famous for winning a battle, but because the Bible takes us to his prayer closet and says, we want to show you a man who is bold enough to ask for blessing, ask for God's provision, ask for God's power. The first thing he said is, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Listen to that. Oh. He knew he stood before a task in his own strength he could never fulfill. And he cries out, you can hear his heart. He goes, oh God, that thou wouldst bless me. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. If you're a conduit through which blessing can go to enrich the lives of others, if you're going to hoard the blessing, then that is self-focus and self-centeredness. But there's nothing wrong with asking for the blessing of God at every level of your life. Jabez had a legitimate request. He remembered the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He belonged to the tribe of Judah. God had promised spiritual blessings through Judah. And so he laid claim on a legitimate promise and said, oh, God, bless me. He knew without God's blessing, God's supernatural favor, he could never drive the enemy out and fulfill his destiny in his life. And it says that he said to God, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Did you know sometimes we seek a blessing that only God can give through people, places, and things? Did you know he didn't seek his mama? She already showed what she could do with regard to blessing. She misnamed her best son. Sometimes mama can't give you the minerals and vitamins you need. Daddy can't give you the minerals and vitamins you need. And no man, woman, boy, or girl can fill a place in your heart you're hungry for. But he went to God. He said, God, I recognize it's not more of the same that I'm doing that I need. It's you. Put your favor. The word blessing means divine favor. The heavy favor of God. We need the divine favor of God as Jabez did to fulfill the will of God for our generation. It's not your trickiness. It's not how talented you are, how cute you are, how talented you are. That's wonderful, but it takes supernatural favor to fulfill the task of God. Someone say amen. He said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Did you know there are some things that look like a blessing, but they're a curse? Jabez was smart enough to say, I want a blessing indeed. I want God what you consider a blessing in my life. Because we've shown by our testimony that we have no judgment whatsoever in anything we choose. We've got nothing but bomb craters where there used to be lives. But Jabez said, oh, I'm passionate that thou, the God of Israel, would bless me indeed. I want blessings indeed. I want blessings that are true blessings, not just in appearance, but in reality. And did you know Jabez was willing to leave it to God with regard to the who, what, when, where, and how of the blessing? Did you know, well, Lord, first of all, you're going to bless me, and I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it. Now, number one, you know what? Be like Jabez. We've seen what you can do. We've seen what the devil can do in your life. Let's see what God can do. Maybe he'll give you a blessing indeed this time in that relationship. A blessing indeed in your ministry this time. Because see, some things you thought was a blessing, you misnamed as a blessing. And some negative things you Jabezed. From now on, I want us that to become a parlance in our Jabezing. See, you go Jabezing somebody. That means calling a blessing something negative. There are a lot of losses you've sustained in life that far from being a curse have led to the greatest blessing of your life. Don't Jabez people, places, and things. Put your ear to God and say, Lord, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. I'm going to leave it to you. You choose the how, what, where, when, why. I just want your supernatural favor. The second thing he prayed in tandem with that was that thou wouldst enlarge my borders. This isn't all about real estate. It's about influence and capacity. Loved one, we're too narrow. We're afflicted with smallness. It's hard for us to think outside the box in our lives. Do you know Fred Smith, the man that invented FedEx, came up with an idea thinking outside the box? What if we could get a package overnight to anyone anywhere in the world? He presented it to his professor at school in a paper. The professor gave him a C. Now, I don't need to tell you where Fred Smith is nowadays. FedEx is a household name because someone thought outside the box. And the professor who gave the C couldn't think outside the box. Do you know how many people there are outside these four walls right now? We need to pray for enlargement, like Jabez did. Lord, enlarge my territory, enlarge my personal influence, enlarge my capacity to make room for you to move in my life. Enlarge my vision, God. Jabez was smart enough to know that he was smitten with narrow-mindedness. And you know what? We're all a little bit narrow. There's a story of a very poor man who did a king a favor. And the king said, look, you just draw on the ground what you want, and I'll give it to you. And the man drew a circle around himself. And the king said, you want yourself as a gift? He said, no, I want everything outside the circle. We got to think big. There's a story about a man that goes to heaven to St. Peter, and he comes in, and St. Peter points him to a box, and his name is on the box, and he goes, is that for me? And he goes, yeah, go open it. And he opens it, and it was filled with all the blessings God wanted to give him on earth if he only would have asked. We have to think outside the box. It's time as a church for us to think outside the box. There are more people not going to church in this country than there are going to church. Why shouldn't they come here? Come on. We don't have bells and smells and incense and nonsense, but we've got the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, and we've got the word of God. We've got everything, and we have God's power. Jabez recognized, Lord, unless you give me supernatural favor, unless you enlarge my capacities, I'm not going to be able to fulfill the will of God for my generation. We need God to enlarge our territory. We need to start thinking bigger. We want the crumb. God wants to give us the bakery. It's true. You always hear attitude determines altitude. Well, you know what? It's true. If all we are is crumb thinkers, we're not going to dare to ever be in a position to receive the bakery, because we can't really ever really believe at the end of the day that God would ever want to bless us. Not really. You know, Pastor Craig, yes. Dennis, yeah. But not me. Well, you know what? God needs to teach us through Jabez that it's time to ask for increase, and it's time for God to expand and get us thinking outside the box and to enlarge our territory. He wanted his influence enlarged. And as he was pushing the enemy out, he knew he needed God's help to receive more of an inheritance. It's not just about real estate. It's about how many men, women, boys, and girls can be influenced through your life. Ask God to give you supernatural blessing. We're going to ask it as a church. I'm asking it as a pastor. Secondly, ask God to enlarge your territory, because we need to. We're all in a box. I don't care how rich you are. You're in a box somewhere in your thinking. You still got a limit. You still got a ceiling, a glass ceiling. I don't care how many talents you have and how successful you are in the eyes of the world. There's some glass ceiling above your head that God wants next year to be your floor. But you know what? He needs to enlarge our territory. And the third thing Jabez prayed, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Oh, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast. Third, that your hand would be upon me. Did you know we need the felt sense of God's presence in this church? We don't have a devil problem. We have an absence of the presence of God problem. You turn on the light and the roaches run. You don't need to do PowerPoint presentation on roach fleeing. Now, the technicality is, of course, to get your general type A roach to flee. You don't need all that. Turn the light on. They're gone. We don't have a devil problem. As John Dawson used to say, when you see vultures flying around, you don't need to invest in vulture gun ministries to shoot them out of the air. Find what's dying. Revive it. The vultures will go away. We don't have a devil problem. We have an absence of the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. No devils mentioned in that text.
But there's ones with big teeth, and they can hang around the air.
If the glory of God and the felt sense of his presence is with us in worship and in the presentation of the word, for that moment, there's going to be nothing in the room of darkness. Jabez realized to do the will of God, to face an insurmountable task, he needed the hand of God. That means the felt sense of his presence. Now, God's everywhere, every when. You've heard me teach on that. But he's not everywhere, 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 everyone in his felt manifestation. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, what does that mean? Well, he's everywhere, every when, but he's not everywhere, every when in manifestation. Sometimes you go into worship and you can tangibly sense the felt sense of his presence. Other times you're alone in the bathroom and you don't feel anything. Except maybe you're a monkey at the zoo being watched through a two-way mirror. Maybe God's there that way, but you don't feel it. You know what, loved one? We do need in our time the felt sense of the presence of God, the hand of the Lord on us, because that it's the Spirit of God that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, not your fancy preaching. No one died and left you, Holy Ghost.
And all your family said, amen.
See, sometimes we're trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit in our spouse's life or our children's lives or our brother and sister's lives. And see, it's the Holy Spirit that convinces the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's His work. It's His work to do the heavy lifting at the end of a service when we give the altar call. He's the one that convicts hearts. He's the one that will move by His power. We have to be available like Jabez and flexible, but at the end of the day, He is not always in manifestation. But you know what? I want to ask Him all the more. I want the hand of the Lord on me. I want when I touch those that keyboard, it's not. We've got a drummer and a guitar, half-baked guitar player here. If anything gets done, it's the Holy Spirit. But there's something about the felt sense of His presence when people walk in here that they feel the presence of God. That's the hand of the Lord. Hand of the Lord is a symbol of protection, power. It's also a symbol of guidance. Jabez realized he needed God's guidance if he was to fulfill his mandate in life. But you know, Jabez rose above his cursed name. He shook off the labels other people had put on him that were set to curse him. And I'm talking to people and looking at some people that you have outrun the cursed name that was placed upon you and the false judgments that have been placed on you. And some people misjudge the best daughter in that family, and that daughter's you. And some misname the best son in that family line, and that son is you. But you know what? God's going to help you rise above every curse that was spoken over your name. Because Jabez knew if he just got the Lord to bless him, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. The supernatural favor of God will destroy any curse in your life. Oh, that thou would enlarge my territory. If God expands your influence, nothing can stand against what God has called you to do. If the hand of God is on you, you will have the power you need and the direction that you need to fulfill your destiny. And the fourth thing he prayed, that you would protect me from evil, that it would not grieve me. Some translate that, protect me from evil, that I would not cause grief. You know, whichever way it is, his life began with someone saying, you're going to cause nothing but pain. And this man became the antidote to that word. And he rose in God's blessing to a place of prominence that instructs every righteous man or woman in every generation. Two little verses, little Jabez, pops up out of nowhere. And did you know you may be buried in your genealogy and your family, but God's going to cause you to pop up at the right time. It's going to be in Rimtham and Bapthap and Doopstop and John. And all of a sudden the scribe puts down his pen and says, ooh. Ooh. See, I believe God's doing a work that people are going to pause when they speak your name. And they're going to go, ooh, 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 ooh. But they're not going to point out something the world would value. They're going to point out something like Jabez's prayer closet. Because you see, what God highlighted in Jabez, the world has no value whatsoever for.
Oh, you Christians, pray, pray, pray. Well, it's about time you get your head out of the clouds and do something. You know what?
God values an awful lot of stuff this earth will not commend you for. But you know what? In your genealogy, you may feel lost. Did you know sometimes in a family line, there's just a bunch of names and that's all there is. Bill and Phil and he was a pill and Jill and there. And then you, out of nowhere, you rise up. I believe I'm talking to people. The scribe's going to pause at your name. Because there's something about you that is big enough to rise up and say, I'm shaking off the past. I want a better future. I don't care where I've been. I care where I'm going. And God bless me. God enlarge. Let me think outside the box. Put your felt sense of presence on me and keep me from evil. We are going to have to be protected from the enemy's works in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, the enemy will not be using sex, drugs, and rock and roll primarily. In this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's going to use a religious spirit. That's the way the devil's going to come. That's what crucified Jesus. See, Cain killed Abel. Religion has killed more people than any political system men have come up with. See, it was religion that crucified the Messiah. It wasn't the porno parlor owners. See what I'm saying? It wasn't the former prostitutes that crucified Jesus. Do you understand my point? Yeah, all our sins put him on the cross. I don't mean that. I'm talking about the fact that the vehicles through which the greatest resistance came to the ministry of Jesus was not the whores and the tax collectors he was forgiving and letting into the kingdom. It was the so-called religious leaders who had every reason to be suspicious of him. What school does he graduate from? Oh, he never went to school. Strike one. Rabbi, has he ever spoken on your speaking list and didn't come to your seminars? No, strike two. Oh, the crowds love him. Strike three. Oh, he offended us. Strike four. Oh, ta, 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 ta. See, that religious spirit starts hating you. You know, you're known by who loves you and by who hates you. If the common people love you and the religious spirit people hate you, you're blessed. If the religious spirit people love you and the common people hate you, you're cursed. And in this last outpouring, it's a religious spirit we're going to have to ask God to protect us from. It's going to be people who speak in the name of God and try to forge the name of God on something that's going to bring a snare to God's people. Did you know in the book of Galatians, Paul wrote about circumcision, and his whole point was when you're born again, your heart is spiritually circumcised. You don't need to do that physical thing anymore. And there were people called Judaizers who were walking around following after Paul and telling all the young converts, oh, believe in Jesus, but first keep the law of Moses. Second, get circumcised in your flesh. Then believe Jesus. And then it's, and you know what Paul said? He said, I hope they slip while circumcising themselves and cut all their privates off. That's what Paul said in Galatians. Now, I would never be so rude as to say that on TBN myself. But the Apostle Paul said, with their false teaching on circumcision, with their false teaching trying to say Jesus plus cut your flesh, Jesus plus obey this, that, and the other, he said, I pray they slip and cut everything off. How dare they bring a false gospel to men, women, boys, and girls who only need to hear Christ, period. Not Christ plus your religious rules, Christ plus bells, smells, incense, and nonsense, Christ plus nothing. And Paul was more rude than I am. If I talked that way, you'd want to meet with me privately and go, Pastor, I really love you, and I really hear your heart, but you know, telling someone to cut their testicles off is just really not appropriate, and my child was there, and talk to Paul, read Galatians tonight. And I won't give any more Pauline analogies because that's not my teaching right now. But he was as blunt as a stump, loved one. And we must embrace the passion Jabez had and break out of the mold, shake off the past and say, oh, bless me indeed. Give me a true blessing. Enlarge my capacity and my influence. Put your felt sense of your hand presence on me and guide me and deliver me from the evil that would cause me pain. Deliver me from a religious spirit. Help me, Lord, see. Lock up the portals. Cover me. Protect me. Because I want to fulfill my destiny. I don't want the devil putting some religious spirit snare in front of my feet to get me off the main things and the plain things onto side issues. Loved one, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Let's not die on the wrong battlefields in this outpouring of God. Okay? Preach the gospel. Live your convictions. I don't care about your convictions. You can be a vegetarian. You can be a meat eater. You can be a meat-eating vegetarian. I don't care what. But that has nothing to do. You can wear a bun in your hair. You can wear Catholic robes. You can do whatever you want. But preach the gospel. Live your convictions. Don't put your convictions on me. You may not be able to see the new Lord of the Rings movie that comes out. Live that conviction. Preach the gospel. And don't put your bondage on me. I'm going to enjoy the movie. Amen. See, Jabez thought outside of the box. And if you want to move ahead and you want to advance, you're going to have to shake off all the inconsequential stuff and make the main thing, the plain thing, which is preach the gospel, live your convictions. Don't confuse the two. And I say this with all passion because we are about to be hit with the greatest abundance of rain we have ever seen in the world, in the body of Christ, by way of revival. And this wave, there's not two waves, there's one wave. If you're waiting on your surfboard, you'll catch it and it will be the ride of your life. If you're not ready, you'll be strewn on the beach. And it isn't so much a judgment as it is an unwillingness on our part to posture ourselves and prepare for the blessing, you see. So whether it's a blessing or a curse, it's coming anyway. The tsunami of God is coming to bless the world and to show forth the love of God to every man, woman, boy, and girl. But you're going to have to get your surfboard ready, wax it up, and posture yourself to catch this thing. And then it's going to be the ride of your life. And the wave's going to do all the work. You know, eagles, I'll leave you with this. Eagles are not flapping birds. They don't go, oh my God, with a cigarette in their mouth. You know, and that's what we look like that so often as Christians, don't we? And even in the service of the Lord in the ministry, you know. Oh God, Jesus, him. Loved one, eagles just, they have that cylindrical bone. They just soar. The wind does the work. They don't sweat. The wind does the work. Did you know that priests in the temple were not allowed to wear woolen underwear? They had to wear linen underwear. Because God didn't want them sweating in his service. God does not want us to smell of sweat. He does not want the work that's about to happen to be something we think has to be mustered up in our gift, our talent, our ability, and we have to whoop it up and hump it and pump it. No. We're moving into a land flowing with milk and honey. We're moving into a series like Jabez where we're going to see the blessing of God, the enlargement of territory, the felt sense of his presence, and we're going to be protected from evil, and we will fulfill the will of God for our generation. Father, we thank you right now that you are enlarging your children and you're enlarging our capacity to dare to believe for blessing, to dare to believe for your will to be done. And Lord, we do set ours aside, and we pray with the Lord Jesus, nevertheless, thy will be done. Whatever it is we would put forward, Lord, we don't want to bring any more Ishmaels to be blessed. We want to bring Isaacs to be blessed. We want to bring things before you that you will really bless, and hope and expectations that you will really fulfill. We don't want fantasies. We want promises fulfilled in our time. And we ask your blessing on it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him praise right now. Give him some praise, little Jabez people. Jabez is...